I want to teach you today about maintaining joy and overcoming depression. The Bible says something profound in Proverbs, the 15th chapter and the 13th verse. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. One time I was at the airport, and I was kind of crumpled over on the side of the wall. I was leaning against the wall. My daughter, Chelsea, walked up to me, and she said, "Dad, smile. Your face is bad advertising." Said only like a child to a parent, you know? And we guys, we don't like unsolicited advice, but she was right. Because, in fact, the Bible says that our countenance is to describe some things that are going on internally. And if you look around, you can see sometimes diminishment in this area. I mean, you don't really need me to tell you that hard times and sad times can become pervasive in a people. Now, what are we to do as Christians? Are we to be glib and superficial and put on a happy face? And no, we're not to put on false airs. And I want to upfront tell you what I'm not preaching. I'm not preaching fake it till you make it. I'm actually saying that there's something stabilizing, and it's important that we understand this, that Jesus wants to impart into our lives to help us to conquer in these mood swings, in these downturns of adversity. And I also want to upfront say that I'm not a medical doctor, nor am I a certified psychologist. I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, and I'm preaching the Word of God to you with the acknowledgement that these maladies come at us from all sides. It's not just strictly demonic. It's not just strictly physical. It's not just strictly our heritage of DNA. It's not just strictly circumstantial. It's all of the above. Now, here's what I do want to say. I'm so convinced in the pervasive, powerful nature of Jesus as the chief physician, as the spiritual guide and strengthener, as the one that imparts the power of the Holy Spirit, that I will say, I know where our help comes from. And it comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And I want to read verse 1 and 2 for you. And I want you to pay particular attention to this because unashamedly and without apology, I am going to prescribe to you that our hope is in Jesus. They that wait upon the Lord will gain new strength, and they'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and they'll not get weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. Those young men stumble badly. We see examples of people like Elijah, this great prophet who called down fire on Mount Carmel and purged the Hebrew worship from Baal worship and pushed that all back and brought amazing reform. He got so depressed. He said, "I'm not any better than my fathers. Please take my life." Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, he said, "I want you to not be unaware, brethren, of the plight we experienced in Asia. We despaired even of life. We couldn't even bear it anymore." Honest and true stories in modern times about people, two guys I think of often, Winston Churchill, who basically stood in the hinge point of the Western world falling apart, and then Abraham Lincoln, who stood in the chasm when our nation was threatening to be divided. Those guys dealt with a fair bit of depression. My hero, and there's a writer of a paraphrase from the 50s and 60s, his name was J.B. Phillips. He was an Anglican vicar from England, and I enjoy not only his paraphrase, but other writings of his. And I just recently found out he battled clinical depression. So God rarely extracts healers out of the ranks of the unscarred. And I also want to say this as well. I'm grateful as I pastor to find out that many of you never deal with depression. I do have a friend who said, "You know, Jeff, I think I've been depressed one, maybe 2 days." You know, and I wanted to just elbow him in the eye, you know. But that would have been depressing. And I really didn't want to. I've said it so many times in prayer, thank you, God, he doesn't deal with that pressure. Last week, a woman approached me. She said, "I'm one of those obnoxious people that never deals with depression." It's really not obnoxious. I'm thankful when people don't have that problem. But in case you do, there's hope for you. And so we don't need to hide it. We don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to get in some sort of weird Like one dear brother, he felt like he was being a bad Christian and he was being a sub-level man. And I said, wait a minute. And I had to go down the list with Elijah, with King David, with Paul the Apostle, and on. I named off a number of them, Jeremiah, Job for a period of time. I said, these guys are heroes. I said, well, let me just show you this. He almost thought it was like sacrilege that I was showing that these guys hit these occasions. But the Bible shows that they hit these occasions. So whether it's demonic oppression, we have authority over it. Whether it's self-inflicted misery due to our neglect of our bodies or not sleeping right or yielding to sin patterns or something like that, we can repent. There's hope. I'm just saying there's hope in all areas. If you've been depleted in your chemistry, there's hope for you. There's help for you. And my desire is for you to have breakthrough, the people around you to develop a sensitivity about what to do. And I believe God is going to help us marshal understanding. Some of it's going to be spiritual. Some of it's going to be practical. All of it's going to be applicable. If you draw from this, you'll get what you need. Because I'm a vessel. I'm a dispenser. I'm trying my best to hear from the Holy Spirit and minister to you. My prayer is that it will, in a way, be like reading your mail. That because the Holy Spirit is our teacher, that He will download what you need. Give us this day our daily bread is the model of prayer. The pattern we see with Israel is they would collect manna that out of, in the mystery food from heaven. I believe there's some mystery food from heaven to help you bust loose and experience amazing breakthrough. And by the way, let me ask you, if offered the opportunity, how many of you would like to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and available to help people out of problems like this? Let me see your hand. Okay. Then for you, this would be an equipping moment to help you to be sensitive to the needs of people and trusting that God, yes, that God in fact can and will deliver and bring people out of this deep pit. He redeems our life from the pit. Hallelujah. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. Lift up the hands that hang down and lift your voice. And I'll just tell you, my goal is to get you away from suppression, repression, depression, in order that you will get into expression. The reason I believe the devil tries to eclipse our lives with depression is to shut us off from expressing our praise and worship, expressing our love to others, expressing the help of evangelism to a lost world. He's trying to blow our pilot light out, and we must not let him. So in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, after it talks about all these amazing people who live, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got the Hebrews 11 t-shirt, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so forth. It says, therefore, since we have seen an example of all these amazing people who have fought the fight of faith, who overcame obstacles, who pole vaulted over oppression, who won in the battles of life, let us, everybody say, let us. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Boy, a big part of what we need to do, get rid of baggage. Lay aside all this excess. Decrease your load. One of the ways we decrease our load, some moms here, mothers go, how do I decrease my load? I got a diaper bag. I've got my pumpkin seat. I got a 12-pound baby in there. I've got a 180-pound baby called Dad. I've got a job. I've got to do that. I've got three other kids. I've got to try to be a Christian. I got to vacuum for eternity. I mean, I've got to go grocery shop for eternity. And you can do it. The undoing and lightening your load is, I'm going to give you a little practical advice with this. We've been doing this the last few months. We started doing this right before the boat wreck. We started laying out a list and we started, God had a boat wreck, kind of disrupted us for several, almost a year. But we refused to quit. We refused to stop. And in fact, we're just going to fill out, we like writing lists because we like the endorphin rush of being able to take a pen and go in. And I pray you get your load lightened by not avoiding or procrastinating or ignoring things, but by tackling things. That is, I'm going to tell you, a practical cure for depression is accomplishment. In fact, success will deal a death blow to depression. When you succeed in something, like just something as simple as yesterday, I went outside and I looked at my plants and my pots and they were all going. So, yea, verily, I got the hose and I watered my plants. And then 20 minutes later, I came back up and they went, "The hills are alive. We love you, Jeff. Oh, green thumb one. Oh, great gardener. You should have a show on PBS. You're so wonderful." I turned and looked at my son's car. It's been under branches for 2 weeks. Birds have aimed at it. So I turned around and I washed his car. "You are such a wonderful car wash professional. You should have your own show on PBS on how to wash cars." You laugh. You think that's kind of silly. But how many of you have gotten a little endorphin rush out of accomplishment? I'm giving you a tip there, you guys. That's not cheap. It's a good one. Let's get back to this big, broad, spiritual one. Let's lay aside encumbrances, the weights and the encumbrances, and the sin which so easily entangles us. It's wonderful to be able to continue to yield to God in repentance and trust Him to deliver us from sin patterns and help us to walk on track. Let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Well, we have a race set before us, and we must run with endurance. And here's the answer: fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Don't you think the cross was fairly depressing? I do. My God, why have you forsaken me? He suffered, crown of thorns, nails scarred through His hands and feet, pierced in His side, thirsty, forsaken, falsely accused, abandoned. That's depressing. But He endured the cross for the joy set before Him. And He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And verse 3 says, "For consider Him who endured such hostility," such contradiction, it says in King James. Much of our depression comes from hostility and contradiction weighed upon us spiritually by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Galatians 6:9 says, "Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you'll reap if you faint not." 1999 was not the beginning of my burden for the Albanian people. It was in the 80s, even before, it was in the 70s, even before I was married, when I read a book about the region. And God dropped it in my heart, the potential to reach those people. And it was closed. The Iron Curtain was tight. The opportunities to preach were nil. And yet, when God opened that door, He pushed us in through that door, and it was not going to be an easy endeavor. We worked and we labored and we toiled and we prayed, and we, over a 15-year period, earned the right to speak into the lives of the people. And now the favor level, the opportunity, is very, very significant. The Bible says the farmer sows the seed and he goes to bed at night, and the mystery of it is first the blade, then the corn, then the full grain, and it's a process. Your spiritual growth is a process. You want it to be a second hand so you could see it verifiably growing, and you then sometimes you think it's a minute hand where you can see it kind of inch along a little bit. It's more like an hour hand. In fact, there's even a watch I saw advertised in a magazine. It's just one hand. And it says, hey, this is, you know, it's an ancient technology, but it's designed to help you enjoy life a little bit and quit just trying to get it all happening right now, percolating. But I want to say this to you so you understand. Don't grow weary. Growing weary is a tendency and a trend. The temptation in our lives is to try to repress things. A repressing is a state of forcible subjugation. It's the classical defense mechanism. A lot of us guys use it. We repress things that protects you from impulses or ideas that would cause anxiety by preventing them from becoming conscious. So we get in denial. I'm not advocating denial and repression or stuffing our feelings. We Christians are called to actually be sensitive to the situations we're in, aware of what's going on in the world, heads up, eyes alert, sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. God's actually called us to be sensitive to, but not overridden by, the maladies of the times. And I just want to say up front, I miss Peter Jennings. He died a few years ago, the broadcaster that was on ABC News. The reason I miss him is because, more importantly, I kind of miss the 28-minute increment once a day of objectivity and sort of graciousness in the communication of the news. It's changed now to 24/7, and it's become a thing of vying more for it's commercial and consumer driven. It's entered more into entertainment, really, than information conveyance, and so consequently, it's become horror movie after horror movie. They've developed professional, tremendous skill at communicating bad news, and so we as a consumer public have to become a bit wary. There was a McNeil-Lehrer couple, guys, partners, that broadcast on PBS. One of them retired. One of them is still at it, but the one that retired, in his moment to communicate to the world and to his viewership, he said, "Hey, listen, public, you're not obligated to listen to news all the time." He said, "In fact, I don't advise you to do it." I make my living doing this, and I've made my living doing this, but now that I'm retiring, can I just tell you, get as much as you need and no more. Now, if you want to get obsessive and you want to get really into it, get a lot of good news in you. You want to get 24/7. Alert! Get in God's word, because it's good news. Pour through Proverbs and gain wisdom. Read the Gospels and see how Jesus functioned from village to village. Read the epistles and read about what God has done for the church. Read the book of Romans over and over again. Read 2 Corinthians. Read and experience Hebrews. Study James about the bridling of the tongue. You say, "Well, Pastor Jeff, I'll be ill-informed. I won't know what's going on in this place, in this place, in Kuwait, in Tunisia, in Chattanooga, and all these places." Well, yeah, you do. Everything I just said, you already know. And so we don't want to have the scales so tilted. In fact, even right now, I'm aware that we don't need to go on with this anymore. I want to go right back to the hope, faith, love-producing dynamics of coming and considering Jesus. Jesus came on the scene when the Roman culture was insane. The paganism, the hedonism, the secularism was as whack as it is now, just different. And the church thrived in that setting. The church thrived, first century church, thrived in a setting that was terrifying, unstable, disruptive, and fierce. And out emerged a giant oak tree of righteousness that came forth and is still shading the nations with its power, with its limbs. You're part of that. He's not weak toward you. He's mighty in you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I believe this will help you as I tie this all together. God's helped me to tie this all together at the end. It all makes sense in the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 4, 5, 6, listen to this. Paul the Apostle is talking, he's revealing his heart, and he's talking about the challenges. Remember, 2 Corinthians is the place where he said, "I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of the difficulty, of the challenge. We were burdened excessively, beyond our strength. We despaired even of life." But then he says, God's our deliverer. He delivered us, he will deliver us, and he will yet deliver us. We need to remember the past breakthroughs. We need to meditate on the ones we have now, and we need to anticipate the ones for the future. This has helped Patsy and me quite a bit through the course of our lives. We overcome by the word of our testimony. We love not our lives unto death, and by the blood of the Lamb. When I receive communion, it's overcoming. Jesus shed his blood. I win the prize. Jesus is my victor. I am more than a conqueror. He has accomplished much through what he did on the cross. The power of the blood of Jesus will put you over every time. And he is our deliverer, and he never diminishes in his deliverance. And then it says here that the church prayed. He said, "By you helping, by praying together, we joined together, and favor was bestowed upon us through the prayer of many." That's what's so powerful. Thank God. people praying for one another. Thank you for praying for us through our terrible boat wreck. Thank you for praying for me when I was lost at sea. Thank you for praying for this church. Thank you for praying for us. Thanks for praying for my children. Can't imagine the type of bizarre bombardment that tries to come. Well, you can, because you could read it in the Bible. In fact, you do understand it because you've lived it too, because you're willing to out yourself and step up and be something in the kingdom of God. And so here we are, needing in much need of equipment. And here's one of the great equipping truths. Paul said, great is my confidence in you, verse 4. Great is my boasting on your behalf. See, Paul loved this Corinthian church, and he believed in the ranks. And he said, I'm filled with comfort. I'm overflowing with joy in all our affliction. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were afflicted on every side. Conflicts without, fears within, but God who comforts the depressed comforted us. In this case, by the coming of Titus. There's something about how God will and often does comfort through people. And this is part of why I want to teach this to you. Survey. How many of you, be honest, you say, Pastor Jeff, I've been through some levels of depression a time or two. Let me see your hands. How many of you have been sad and have gone through some dark times? Well, we all have. Some of you that you're not as prone to that, and thank God for it. But then I want to encourage you to become aware of the potential to break oppression off of people's lives. Here's how you don't do it. You don't make light of it. You don't say, you're a Christian, man. You've got the joy of the Lord, man. Nobody needs those glib kinds of rephrases. You're more anointed than that. You don't talk on cliches. Cliches don't budge a gnat. But on the other hand, you get a little compassion. You get a thimble full of compassion. God will he'll pour an ocean of answers through that little thimbleful. You get just a touch of compassion. Instead of going, oh, my kid, he's always whining and crying. Blah, blah, blah. If you do that, I guarantee you, you're repelling the anointing on your life from helping anybody around you. On the other hand, if you become an over-bleeding heart and then you try to jump into the deep end to try to save somebody who, in fact, really doesn't want to change, then you're going to drown too. So don't do that either. But I guess the things I want you to get a hold of is Paul had affliction, no rest, conflicts without, fear within. That sums up some problems. And yet, but God, everybody say, but God. He comforts the depressed. He's an ever-present help in the time of need. Abundantly available to help in a tight place. When this flood hit, I will tell you, I felt depressed. I was out in the backyard. It was mind-numbing. I kept focusing on mid-range. I kept crying. I heard Patsy cry in the house. I was walking in the field trying to figure out what to do next. I already felt inadequate and overwhelmed anyway in so many ways, and yet God had been so good to me and has been so good to me. He meets all of our needs. In fact, that's why the devil tries to berate and belittle you, is in order to get you to withdraw from being what God's called you to be and suppress. But I close with this. We're actually called to expression. Not to repression, not to stay in the doldrums of depression, not to live in suppression, but to express through our facial expressions, through our communication, by speech or by writing or by word or by text or by phone call or by praise or by testimony or by evangelism. Oh, I've watched the devil try to shut my mouth. And I remember a wonderful preacher before I even got started. And he was preaching and he looked at me and he prophesied. And he said, do not let the devil shut your mouth. Well, so I've been on a quest from then on. I need to bridle my tongue. There's a whole other thing. Don't let the devil use your mouth. But when it comes to boldness, when it comes to praise and worship, man, get up there and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. When you get around people that are lost, get the gumption to figure out a way to communicate the gospel of Jesus to them. When you have a testimony, we've had to turn the radio off. Patsy said to me the other day, what are three things we can rejoice over? So we drove along for a while. Well, thank God I'm saved. My names are written in the book of heaven. Pause. Well, and we started to talk. And then it was amazing how it can just, negativity can integrate. Especially when you've been through a lot of battles. And you just have to cast those things down. Casting down imaginations and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If you stand up, I may stop. Come on, stand up. Actually, I don't want to joke about that because this is so important. You really need this. I'm sowing seed into your spirit. How many of you say, Pastor Jeff, you know there are aspects of this I really need? Let me see your hands. Put your hands down. You say, I know there are people out there that need healing and they need a deliverer and they need someone that's persuaded and someone that could come along with some grace and some strength. When the flood hit, I was intrigued because I watched all these educated, all these kind of efficiency-oriented people numb and deactivated, circled all around the valley, just kind of not knowing what to do. And I read in a book later that there is, in a survivor kind of a thing, it's 80% and it's 10% and 10%. 10% of the people do the exact opposite thing. If they see smoke coming out of a subway, they get on the escalator and they go toward the smoke. Stuff like that. People actually do that. They see an ambulance, they drive toward it, and they want to run out and go look at the fire and that kind of thing. Then they're the other side, they're 10% of the people, they're sharp. They know exactly what to do. They get up, they get over to the edge of the threshold of the door. If they see a boat lilting, they get out on the side, they walk out, they don't wait for other people, they don't look to people for guidance. They get out there, they stand up. When they see it's time, they jump out there, they swim away from it before the suction sucks it out, and they get out there and they hold on to something, and then they get a wave, they get rescued, they come out and they're able to tell the story. But then there are 80% that just get numb. And this is why I'm preaching against depression. Because this kind of pervasive numbness, it's a result of aspects of the manipulation of the enemy, of oppression, of the oppression of the devil, to try to take the maladies of the times and just blur our vision, dull our responses, take our edge off, and we must shake that off today. Shake that off today. Be renewed. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we rejoice. The gospel is the power of God. So we express ourselves and communicate the gospel. We love people. Therefore, we don't hold back. We care about one another. So we're not afraid to communicate love. I know people who go for 10, 11 months without exhorting anybody with an encouraging word. You got to stop that. I know Christians, I don't witness to people. I just don't want to witness because I saw some weird manic street preacher and then I don't want to be like that. Well, no, don't be like that. Be credible. There are people that got saved here today, you guys, because you're effective. There are people who got saved here this morning. This service today is their day of salvation. They just got saved. God is making all things new. I want you to lift up your arms. Imagine yourself holding up each other's arms. Imagine you contributing to someone's bravery, someone that just stumbled and you lifted them up and sustained them through a hard time. Through alarming symptoms, through life disappointments, through the oppression, protracted oppression of the devil. Let's take care of it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take our stand in faith corporately. We command the evil forces that have arrayed against us to depart. You told us to resist the devil and he would flee from us. We do our level best, Lord, to allow no unconfessed sin in our lives. And so according to Hebrews chapter 12, in addition to laying aside weights and encumbrances, which we endeavor to do, we lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. And one more day, we come to you with a repentant heart, realizing that there's no condemnation any longer for those who are in Christ. We don't play games. We're not looking for loopholes. We humble ourselves. We receive your grace. Just right now, just receive. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Thank you for your wonderful, holy grace. Where the fire of the Spirit of God comes into this room and changes everything. God, I pray for people who are dealing with depression, that they would win. They would win. They'd get in a great balance. They'd get in great hope. Theirs would be a testimony of breakthrough. That they wouldn't feel embarrassed or ashamed any longer. They wouldn't feel like they're crummy Christians. They'd get the breakthrough that they so vitally need. We ask that you move, and there are people praying right now for loved ones. We pray in the extension for family members. We come against this halting thing. We all have buddies and friends we know that get stuck in this stuff. They try to drink it away, and alcohol's a depressant. It makes it worse. So God, we pray you help them get out of that, and that they look for, they don't look for help in the wrong places. They get hungry for God, and you send laborers to cross their path. Say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Isaiah 6:8. Make yourself available to the Holy Spirit right now. And now, Lord, I pray you give us wisdom to know how to be people who know how to bring blessing and help. Help us to overcome depression ourselves by not just repressing or suppressing, but by meaningfully walking in supernatural confidence with you. We trust you. We thank you. Wherever there's a trouble, God, you deliver us in those troubles. We call upon you, full of faith and confidence that you hear, you answer prayer, and that you're going to see all of our loved ones through. In Jesus' name, amen.